What's up, friends? Welcome to the Fresh Life Podcast. My name is Leah Pieper, and it is a joy to welcome you today. I just love that summer is wrapping up. We've had such a good summer, just at the pool, taking road trips. I'm a photographer, so shooting weddings is always a big part of my summers. This fall weather that we're getting has just been so sweet and fun. So I hope you're enjoying a nice, crisp fall morning. Today, we are diving into the question, what is faith? Really? What is that? At Fresh Life, we believe fully in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came to die for our sins and welcomes us into his family and kingdom. So this whole episode is about, what does it mean to have faith in those things? What does it mean to have faith in that truth? Lisa, Tara, and I just tackle this very interesting question and set some good foundations for the season that's ahead. We're so excited to have you along for the ride. So let's jump right in.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Fresh Life Podcast. This is Lisa Brown, and I am sitting in my living room with my two lovely friends and teammates, Leah Pieper and Tara Wiekamp.
Hey!
Let me know you're here. I'm not by myself. But our hope in doing this podcast each week is to actively shape the next generation through life-on-life discipleship. And we really believe if we're going to invest in this younger generation, that we need to be students of the world they're living in. So really, as we open this conversation today, I just want to start out, and would you guys just jump in with me, and let's just talk about, what does this generation face today? What does it look like? You know, Leah, for your friends and like what your world looks like, just let's bring a little clarity maybe to...
It's a wild day out there.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like we have been talking about this for the last couple hours as a team, and there's some really fun parts about our culture today, but also some really hard parts too.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, you look at statistics, and it's the most suicidal, drug addicted, I mean, just anxious generation. And, you know, you're facing the economy actually right now, like a lot of what they're saying is your generation is going to be a generation of renters because it's going to be so hard to buy.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that.
I heard something just in the last couple of weeks how they were predicting a lot of babies being born during the
pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And actually it was the opposite, that we have the lowest birth rate coming out of that.
Which is so interesting. We were talking about why that might be, you know, and one of the things that came to our minds was there's a control aspect, whether that be control over my comfort and I don't want to miss out on my comfort, or control of, you know, our fears of bringing children into this, which is interesting. One thing I was thinking about as I thought about our culture in this day and age is just how, like, instant gratification has shaped this conversation. We're going to talk about faith today, if that's news to you, but just how instant gratification has shaped the way that we're willing to be patient or willing to wait for whatever, you know. We're talking about what it looks like to persevere and to have faith in something outside ourselves and to look to God amidst crazy circumstances, right?
Exactly.
And when you rely on this instant gratification to, no, I actually want to be out of this situation now. I actually want to be freed now, or I actually don't like this situation or how I'm feeling. I need to leave. I need to change. I need to end this suffering. I need instant gratification now. And how that just has shaped the way we go about a lot of things, you know?
It really has. Yeah, I feel like there has been a shift in kind of how we approach decision-making and how we discern through the information we're given, all of those things. And when you put that with instant gratification, we've become a very reactive culture, a very emotionally based culture, instead of a culture that sits on something and considers and thinks. And so it's interesting to see how that plays out in the church, and how that does affect our faith as we're having that conversation, because there is definitely a shift that's happened, I would say, in that realm of instant gratification and kind of the distillment of how we make our choices and our decisions.
Yeah. Isn't there just like some value, like perception too, that's changed of what this life is about?
Yeah, I think so. I think that so much, like, we are so much more, and I don't know, I've only lived so many 40 years on this life, and so but just so much more individually centered or me focused than maybe past generations, where people were much more community focused or corporately focused. Yeah. And considered the other above themselves, and so I feel like that too has played into an entitlement sort of way that we go about, I do deserve this feeling of instant gratification. Like, not only do I want it, not only is that going to drive my decision-making process, but I, in fact, deserve to kind of be the god of my own life. And I think that, that while we might not want to say that all the time, I do feel like that kind of premise is very prevalent in our culture.
So with y'all saying that, you feel like that feelings seem to drive a lot of what our culture bases their action on?
I think so. I think we have elevated how important they are, maybe. I think it's a pendulum swing, right? Because there was a generation before us, I'm not going to point fingers, but who maybe didn't give feelings enough value. Mm-hmm. And so we're swinging like, no, those are the most important thing at, like, on some degree, right?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're doing more counseling. You're more open to working through and naming it and, like, processing some of those emotions. And so it's an active good thing.
Yeah.
But if you don't handle it in the way God designed those feelings, because we've talked about feelings are good. God gave them to us to experience the joy that he's given us, to have fear when we know to be, you know, careful. Mm-hmm. Those are good things. But to base everything we do on how we feel can produce a lot of bad decisions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that we had talked earlier before, just that feelings can be really helpful. They can be signposts of something deeper going on that needs to be addressed. Like, I mean, you wouldn't, when you lash out at your husband, that's a feeling of anger that you need to do some work to figure out, why am I so angry that he loaded the dishwasher this way? You know, like, okay, that's a feeling, that's a flag. It's led to some sin. So how do I address that feeling, address my control or whatever is leading to anger to help me, like, walk in health and holiness? Right. That's probably a more healthy it view is. Rather than, I'm angry, I deserve this, I deserve to be angry, I need to follow that anger,
right?
And I'm justified in it, you know?
Yeah, well, we hear a lot about people being super lonely and isolated. We hear a lot about people feeling unpopular because of social media, not getting likes. I mean, there's so many things that you can feel, like, it's so much and so sensationalized right now. Mm-hmm. So I think being a student of the women in your generation, especially, Leah,
that those likes are a whole nother conversation.
They really are.
I mean, it's so much deeper than being unpopular. It's a matter of worth now. Like, I am how many likes and followers that I have, which I feel like I didn't grow up with social media necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this newer generation definitely has. That's impacting it so much more into how they view themselves, how, you know, their self-worth and everything.
Well, just think about it. They never knew what it was like not to have a phone, not to be, like, waiting to get your phone and then having the ability to have connections and have all these people, like, join your following, you know, and feeling popular and everything. Mm-hmm. So they don't know anything different. Like, were we more me than you, Tara, but we had to learn how to have friendships and, like, get those values through communicating and spending time together. So we have a little more balance in knowing that it's more, it's not as weighty as what it would be for the generation who's never not known any of that.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of like good things that have come out of social media. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who hear about Jesus for the first time on social media, you know? So it's that tricky field of knowing, maybe not helping people create good boundaries around it, because there are good things that maybe we shouldn't just toss the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. We need some coaching around how to behave with just everything. I mean, social media in this context that we're talking, but just a lot of these newer technologies of how to appropriately have them be a part of our life, but not like...
Totally agree. Yeah, and I think that's where this came from, of wanting to do a whole episode on this, is we're kind of assuming if you walk with God, you have faith. Mm-hmm. But how much are we really exercising the muscle of really growing and replacing what we would feel by what is true in God's word? And it just seems so like obviously that you would do that, but I don't think we obviously are anymore. And we're letting feelings kind of trump over the truth of what God says. And we know when we stand on truth, we have stability and comfort and peace and direction and purpose. And it's like, that's what we want for the women that we're in life with. And so what does it look like to have faith? I mean, we know he wants us to really stand on the absolutes of what he says is true. And we know that he's given us a roadmap to have a healthy life being in his word. And all throughout the Bible, we're told to believe and to have faith. And I just thought, if we can, let's just talk about what is faith. And let's just kind of like walk through this a little bit. What is actually, what is faith?
Well, I mean, this might be your cop-out, but Hebrews 11:1 just defines it for us if we're going to use a biblical standard. And so it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And I think that there's a couple pieces in that where we know that we have a security or an assurance of something that is to be hoped for, but then also there's this piece of like we've thought around it. I think another version uses the word considered or something like, and so it's like we've like looked into it, thought around it, and said, even though we tangibly don't see it, we understand that this is how things are best or good or whatever. And so I think stepping into something and having action toward something based upon this belief structure demonstrates faith. That's what I think faith is when we talk about faith of the Bible.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, obviously I like that. That's the word of God. So
I like the word of God.
When I was thinking of like a definition for faith, like without that, it's a little like ambiguous to describe. I feel like maybe we just don't talk about what we talk about it a lot. It's in our Christian vocabulary, but maybe giving a definition is something we don't normally do. So when I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, I think it's like choosing to trust God, like despite our reality, like despite what's happening or what we're feeling, what we're seeing, choosing to trust in who God is and what he said, no matter like what we see.
That is. Absolutely. And something I've always stood on is taking God at his word. That we take God at his word, whether we feel fearful, we know that God is good and he's in control and he has a plan and he is bigger than our situation. And so we don't have to live in the fear. We can live on the truth of who God says he is. And so much it's taking him at his word, living by his truth, and really not letting feelings drive our life or like our view of who he is or the way we have relationship. It's like we take him at his word. And so where do you see faith displayed throughout the Bible? Like, what are some of those examples that just really, when we talk about it, it's hard to describe, like, what does it look like in those examples?
I kind of thought of, like, maybe it was because we were talking about feelings in the mix of faith, but I had three examples of things that came to my mind of faith as a juxtaposition to our feelings. So I thought of Jesus in the garden as he's, like, praying to the Father and how he chooses faith into what God is calling him to and submission to what God is calling him to faith that there's a bigger story going on here rather than the fear of going to the cross. I also thought of the bleeding woman who chooses to believe that God is a healer and choose to believe that he's greater than her shame. And I also thought of David, specifically maybe in Psalm, like, is it 51 or 52, where he's created me a pure heart? Do you know?
Yeah.
So Psalm 51, where David's praying, this is after his moment with Bathsheba, and he chooses to have faith in a redeeming God, in a cleansing God who forgives, rather than clinging to the shame of, I just slept with this woman and killed her husband.
Whole sort of mess on that.
Yes. And I thought of, like, those three situations of, like, faith. I thought of them, and then I thought of, the feelings that they felt, that they chose faith in a God who is greater than those feelings to follow, you know?
And we talked when we were talking about this before we started, of sometimes that can look like rose-colored glasses to people that don't understand. But really, when you actively put your faith in who God says he is, the work and the strength that it takes to replace that over your feelings isn't rose-colored glasses.
Right.
It's knowing who God is and taking the time to love him and to know him and to walk with him and to relate with him, to know you can stand on that truth.
Yeah.
And even if we don't, he tells us to anyway. So even if we don't really know if we do, he tells us to, so we do anyway. Does that make sense?
There's a thousand of these stories in Scripture.
But don't you love, like, I love the times in Scripture where you see that Jesus says, I marvel at your faith. And so I was looking in, like, the centurion that brought the servant that was sick. And Jesus said to him, I marvel at your faith. You know, be healed. And then I think of the four guys that brought in his friend that was paralyzed. And it was such a crowded room that they lowered him down the roof. And then again, Jesus said, I marvel at your faith, you know, be healed. And so it's like, I think he loved that they believed that he could heal them, that they would go through, you know, getting on the roof, going through the work of opening a hole to be able to lower them down. Because they just knew if they got down to Jesus, he would do that. And so
it's almost as if, like, God's calling us to see that feeling is not the end of the story. Like, there's, he longs for the what he can do to be the end of the story. Like, the feelings are definitely part of the story, but they're not the end of the story.
And like you talked about, Lisa, it's taking him at his word, believing he is who he says he is. And so he's marveling at the fact that these people have, like, believed that he is who he says he is.
Exactly.
Like, believe that from a distance, this God can heal a servant, and that he has that authority. And so Jesus doesn't have to tell the centurion to understand authority. The centurion understands, and Jesus marvels at the fact that he understands God in that way. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that, as I was thinking around this idea of where do we see faith displayed in the Bible, and how, like, what is faith? It's this element that it is gifted to us by God, and it is, like, based upon God. Like, it's based upon who he is, and that's why we exercise it, is because when we're exercising, it's because we're taking him at his word. We're believing he is who he says he is. And I think I had a verse, that was John 6:29. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. And I think that so often it's like, Jesus has gifted us with faith, and we put it on us to, like, muster faith. But really all of that's found in him. And so this idea of, like, resting in him, or looking to him, or understanding his character, is really central to the conversation of faith, because we can't do it on our own.
And so in that, you know, that's the question of how much faith do we need to have? And so it's a difference with growing our faith and, like, strengthening our faith. And it's like, really the bottom line is, what does the Bible say how much faith we are to have?
Faith like a mustard seed, right? Which is tiny, by the way, if you haven't ever seen a mustard seed.
It takes the tiniest of faith. And, you know, as I've processed through what faith is, somebody had mentioned in some of the training I had with crew, it's like you have a chair and you have faith in that chair that when you go sit on it, likely it's going to hold you up. So it isn't the smallest of faith, but it's not how much we have, but it's what we're putting it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the points we really wanted to make as we're talking about this, to rethink things when we're like just, I mean, as women, we can worry and our emotions mm-hmm. can take over, to stop and think, what am I putting my faith in? Is it my ability? Is it that I have money to get me out of this?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is it that person needs to, you know, rescue me? What am I putting my faith in? And I think really what we want to say is, let's go back and like have this sound mind of that we're going to put our faith in what we know is true. And that only is in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's like only in who he says he is. And so, you know, just encouraging each other that we really be aware of how much we rely on feelings and we run on that and how much quicker we can just replace it with standing strong. It's like an active faith and not just knowing because we're Christians, we're faith filled or faithful, but that we have a faith of what you said that God has given us, that we can put it in Jesus and stand strong and sturdy, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what God wants from us. He wants us to put our faith in him. He, he knows that he's a worthy place to have that. Reese was doing a sermon for our college ministry at Providence. He was teaching on healing of all things, you know? And we were going for a walk and he was just telling me some of his anxieties for doing this teaching. And he was like, I just think I would feel a lot more safe if I had just so much more words on the page, you know? And I just kind of had this bubble up. Maybe I should have checked with it first. But I was like, maybe the Lord is just wanting you to feel safe with him as your guide and not how many words you have or how prepared you feel, but being actually just safe with him, faith with in what he's going to do and not how much you can control and what you can muster up, you know?
I mean, and, you know, we talk about we can have a really easy plan for our life, but God's plan is so much different because he knows if it's just this easy road, we're not going to rely on him the way you said he would delight in us relying on him, because he can tell us and expose himself in such a more beautiful way when we're, you know, full attention that we need him and we're willing to like want to learn who he is. And then when we've seen what he's done, it's so much easier to strengthen that muscle when you can go back and it's like, I remember when you did this before, so I can stand on that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it really is like just having to like almost take like a training time of replacing your instincts to go in a certain place. Like a lot of us are worriers, you know, and I had a situation over the weekend that I just was in every way wanting to worry. And, you know, knowing we were talking about this, it was like, well, he's just asking me to put this in practice because, Lord, I can either choose to go through all these emotions and what ifs. And literally, I go to the end of like the casket. I really do. I mean, I go to the extreme. And instead, he is like, who am I? And so just laying in bed and just all through the night of just telling him who I know he is and who he's promised me that he would be. And there's such comfort in that. It's like, why would we not want to live in that? And we don't live just fretting all the time. We live in power and in strength and in purpose. And we live reflecting who he is.
And I mean, his power is made perfect in weakness, right? So these things in our life that feel like they're, you know, off course or not the way this is supposed to be, maybe that's exactly the way it is supposed to be so that we would rely on that power and, you know, come to him in need.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all have ever had a friend that you've actually had to lean on. You know, I think we have friends that run beside us and we're mutually strong or whatever, but then the moment you have to lean on a friend, there's a new appreciation and understanding and insight that you have to that friend. And I think that's what Jesus wants with us. He wants us to know him at this different level of intimacy and at this place where he can come through and he'll be there. And he wants us to know that about him. And I think my tendency is always to like try to do it on my own or to try to say, oh, I got this until I really need you, Lord. And the whole time he's just like, I don't need you to need me. I just want you to know me. Like, I don't, it's not about dependence as much as it is about, like, you'll know me in a new way when you depend on me, you know?
I love that example of a friend. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? And you grow deeper and you like not only the respect you have, but it's like the love and like mm-hmm. the commitment you have towards each other.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it's like a whole new level. It's mm-hmm. like to have a friend like that is really special. But you're right. Jesus is there and that's what he desires. And we just sometimes just miss out on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We really do. We miss out on that beautiful friendship that we have with him and mm-hmm. just really all that he has for us when yeah. we just choose to not rely on that. But can you share a time when you knew that God wanted you to have faith, but your feelings kind of complicated the situation?
So there was a time when I've shared this with a number of people, but I was asked to help lead a summer mission, and I was, in my mind, way too young, and probably rightly so, I was way too young to lead it. And so I was wrestling with the Lord once, and I was in the shower because we've already talk to this, like God speaks when you're in the shower, but he had said something along, like I was just going back and forth, and I said, kind of, Lord, I know that this, I don't want to do this because I like the idea of it, but I know I'm going to fail. And it was just like, he said, I know, but I still want you to do it. Mm. And for me, failure is not something that makes me feel excited. And yes, I want that. Like, failure is something to avoid and try not to ever have. And so in that moment, it was like the feeling I had was run away. Do not do this thing that the Lord is asking you to trust him with. Instead of, hey, you know, whether or not you fail, which you will, like, I want to grow you through this. Are you going to trust me
wow.
in that? You know? And I did, like, there were levels to which I failed. There were levels where I saw him work in tremendous ways that summer. But I think that that is an example when I've thought around that sort of question of where his, like my emotion and what he's asking me to do really conflicted. Mm-hmm. I remember that moment a lot, like in my walk with him and just the way he used it. I mean, he used it in tremendous ways because I said yes. And
right.
No.
And you've referred back to that as mm-hmm. a mile marker. It's like, yeah. or like a stone, you know, yeah. like we talk about this, like
yeah.
a remembrance of like, God, I remember that. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of go beyond that. You don't have to keep going back to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's faithful in that.
One of the areas I've always felt like God calls me to trust him is like with provision and like finances. Mm-hmm. And when we first, graduated, we both went on staff, my husband and I, with a ministry where you had to raise your own support and live like that for 13 years. And then being a pastor's wife and having like really, you know, taste in high quality things, it's always like just trusting God to provide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just looking around and just feeling worried, like we're not going to have money to like be able to do certain things, or like, what are we going to do when our kids need to go to school or get married and all those things. And truly having to go back to God, who do you say you are? And do you know, and I've said this before because it's been a theme, but he's never asked me to do anything he wasn't willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. And all through the time of me having to trust him with finances, he's always provided above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And it's been something that I can like fester and maybe not do certain things because I'm fearful because we don't have the money to do it, or, you know, mm-hmm. just being afraid that it's going to put us in a bad position. But to have to say, if you're calling me to do this, I'm going to trust that you will provide. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you story after story of how God has overly and abundantly provided in ways that I would have not ever given him the chance if I hadn't just truly said, God, it's got to be you mm-hmm. doing mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
And so I just look at him like I know him as the provider because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a hard time, like, just deciding what to share mm-hmm. for this story, but I feel like for me, one that comes up in my mind was a time when the Lord was asking me to forgive somebody, and there had been so much pain and so much mistreatment, and I didn't want to. I didn't, mm-hmm. and I think I held on to that. That really hurt, and I feel justified mm-hmm. in my anger, and I feel like they need to say sorry, and all these things need to happen first, Lord. Would you just understand that and give me those things, and then I will move forward in forgiveness? But neither of those things really, nothing, there was no apology made, there was no, like, realization of wrongs, and the Lord was still calling me to forgiveness. And when I finally chose to surrender my pride, there's my justified anger. There was so much that I had to lay down and myself ask forgiveness for. The Lord was kind to bring freedom. I think the reference is like,
unforgiveness is poison to the soul.
Yes, like that's what it is.
But it's giving them something, expecting them to die.
And then you drink then the poison. Yeah. Can we like say that again?
Well, I can't remember. I don't know exactly how it is. But I've seen it as a bird cage.
Yeah.
And you're inside the bird cage. Mm-hmm. And then there's a key.
There's a key. I don't know what the key's doing there.
Wait, let's just exit.
But it's really good.
But
it's really good.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know that. I don't know the exact words to it.
Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, I feel like my forgiveness, what I thought was going to happen was it was going to, you know, make that person feel like it was okay that they did what they did. But really, it just freed me and gave me a lot of joy and enjoyment back into my life that I was letting go of this pain that in my life.
It is. And, you know, I think I wanted to be married and had been in 10 weddings and there was no one in my life. I was just a staff person with students, a bunch of little brothers. I'm like, I'm never going to meet somebody and really wanted to be married like that. Never really thought about being a mom, but always wanted to be married. And so I just remember too, having to get to that point of like, God, I'm going to trust you that you have the best for my life. And however that looks, I will give you this, like, I will trust that if you want me to be single, I will live a full single life. And I remember those, you know, defining moments of me handing that over to him and believing that he knew what was best. And I just live differently. Like, you don't live looking around every corner. You just live fully because you can just know that it's like he is in control and has the best for you.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the most amazing things when you experience this, where you have your emotions that are just like, okay, this doesn't seem like what I ought to be doing. But then you faithfully walk with God. You faithfully do the thing he is asking you to do. And there might be people around you who are like, why did you do that? You know, I think of Job all the time in this sort of conversation. And the thing that's amazing to me, though, is when you do walk by faith, there is a security and a peace and a stableness that comes even when the rest of the world doesn't quite get it yet, you know? And so I think that's something that I've noticed as your emotions play in and you're like, I don't want to do this. What will people think? Oh, they do think I'm crazy. You know, all the things. But like when you do walk by faith, when God is asking you to do something and you do it, like he is always there to hold you up in any situation, you know? I think that's amazing.
But it's just so funny because we mentioned the parable of the mustard seed found in Mark chapter 4. And the paragraph right under that is when the disciples were with Jesus in the boat and the squall came and the storm came. And they're freaking out because he's just over there sleeping. And they're like, you know, what are we supposed to do? And he's like, do you not have faith? They're like, you still not have faith?
You just needed a mustard seed. Let me remind you.
But, you know, they're waking him up like, come on. And so... like that's like how we live, you know, if we're not standing and rooted in what active faith looks like. Yeah. But a lot of our episodes are to encourage us as we walk with other women. Are there examples of times you've been meeting with women that you know that they've struggled with letting their emotion take over what they know God is asking them to do? I mean, can you think of examples of things that I know for me, a lot of times I had friends who were executives and had really good careers, and they were sensing that God wanted them to like step down from their career and stay home as a mom. And they just really battled that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, of course, it was so funny that he gave them to me as a friend, because provision has just been something he has taught me a lot about over the years. And it's like asking them the question, what are you afraid of? You know, and like, do not believe that God would provide for you if he's asking. And so really walking through with women and really just being a friend to them, giving them grace and in their own timing. But if they didn't have a friend that wanted what God wanted for them, they would have just gone along with all the other people who were just doing what they knew to do. Because you kind of get in a bubble when you're in a company and you just think you live like everybody else and everybody's working. So you just do that. You don't sometimes have perspective. Mm-hmm. But to watch the women who obeyed God and like stepped down from really good jobs to stay home, and all these years later that they said that is the one thing I've never regretted. And either their husband got a promotion like the next month and provided for the part that they thought they were going to be in need for, or they just downsized and they were like happier because of it. Mm-hmm. But I just have watched women take steps of faith, and to be able to walk with them and like for them to trust me with their real feelings of like what they're afraid of and everything. Mm-hmm. What a gift to be that friend to do that.
Yeah.
But I think of myself being intimidated sometimes to invite women to come do things. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like, God, but you've asked me to reach out, and you know, I want to be faithful to tell people about you and to invite them in. And so even though I'm super insecure or fearful, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then those women come and they're the ones that like shape the whole like posture of the group for the rest of the time. And they would say just that invitation meant so much. And I'm just thinking, if they only knew, that was like a huge faith issue for me to ask.
I feel like I'm hearing like a theme in our in this episode that has just come to me.
Come on, let's hear it.
Don't you feel like when you were saying that, I was like, obedience has to be a huge part of faith, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if I were to make an equation, it would be faith equals, I'm going backwards here, just go with it. Mm-hmm. Faith equals trust. Whether that be trust in who God is and what he's called me to, plus obedience. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's the active part.
Yeah, that's what you keep saying.
It is.
That active.
And maybe like, obedience is the word. You know,
it's a follow through.
I think that when we truly believe God, we move. Mm-hmm. We just do it because we know he's good. Or I think of like Hebrews 11 again, when they list all of the people of faith. You know, you have the hall of faith there. And after everyone else, I think I can even read a couple. Like, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken up so he would not see death. By faith, Noah, being warned about or by God about things yet not seen, prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place, went. You know, it's like they all had this moment of like, if this is true, I can't help but move. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so it's again, not something we must or like, oh, I just got to get the strength to be able to leave my home. It's like, I believe this so deeply. Tim Keller has, like he had walked through a little bit of like what Christian faith really contains, and he had three components, and he said it contains understanding, and it contains conviction and commitment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're talking about, Leah. It's like this idea of, yeah, when I understand, like, this is what I believe, and I'm convinced of it, I'm convicted, then like I'm committed.
I didn't realize that Keller already
you
had
and Keller
an equation.
Are like on the same party. Well, his was more of a list. Yours is an equation.
But I think obedience and what was the third component of that you just said?
Keller's?
Yeah.
His was like understanding, conviction, and commitment.
Commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a commitment to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not lazy. I mean, this is like us being... Right? It's like those words are not passive words. These are that we are taking our walk with the Lord to heart and making it a priority in our life, and that we want obedience and commitment and all these things to be more than how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we talk about any of this, how I feel could trump. I mean, I'm a full-blown hormonal girl and I feel deeply. And so if I didn't know what God said and didn't take the time to grow in that, and really that is like, a good question is, how do we strengthen that muscle? How do we grow in that faith? What are things that y'all have done or that you move from letting your feelings rule to having that commitment and that conviction?
One of the things I've done a lot with women that I've discipled is I will regularly ask them what they're believing about who God is, or regularly ask them the question, which attribute of God is hard for you to really believe right now? And that gives guidance then to how they're operating in decision-making, because sometimes if we have a hard time believing that God does really provide, then I will withhold I will try to provide for myself. I will do these things. And then you can speak into that area of faith and recognize where are the areas that God does provide in the Bible. Where are the things that he talks into that component? But I'd like to bring it to what do we believe is true about him, his qualities, his characteristics, because I feel like that kind of distills it down mm-hmm. to like, who is this God I'm believing? Yeah. And one of the things, so I have a son who feels deeply. I love that you said that. I'm like, yes, he does. And, he will get into these moments where, and bless his heart, he is very verbal. So he'll just tell you all the things he's feeling deeply. And he'll get into these things, and I call it, hey, buddy, you're spiraling, is what I tell him. And what I've done with him is I have posted on his wall by his bed. I said, every morning, what we're going to do, and every night, what we're going to do is we're going to write down these things. Who is God? Who does the Bible say God is? And so there's like 10 attributes of God that he knows who God is. And then there's who does God say you are? And so he just every night and every morning he reads through those, and now he has them memorized or whatever. But when he starts to do that, I just redirect him and say, what is true about who God is? Mm. So whether or not he's just memorized it and it's spewing it, it pauses him long enough to refocus on something. And then I can engage that conversation. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? Like what are you doing and saying that proves that you don't believe that? And then we can have a conversation. But I think it helps to have something concrete to focus on. Like, do I believe that this is who God is?
I think so much of it is about knowing God's character, to mm-hmm. know what is real and what we really can rely on and strengthen. We talked a lot about Christianity 101 that was written mm-hmm. by Courtney Garrett. And we even did a whole episode, if you want to look back on our season one.
Yeah. I think it's in season one.
But Courtney Garrett also wrote Discovering the Character of God, mm-hmm. and it's looking at who God is. And it is such a good study. And so just want to encourage you, if mm-hmm. you're wanting to stand strong, or like what Terry, you were saying, really teaching your children mm-hmm. about God's character, I would just say, pick this up and it will just walk you through each of the characteristics of God. But I think our faith grows when we know who God is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's knowing who God is, like we're talking about. It's reading the stories of his faithfulness mm-hmm. in the word. Yeah. But it's also telling each other these faithfulness stories of mm-hmm. how God has been true to who he says that he is. And like our next series is all about redemptive stories. We're going to be telling stories about how God has been the Redeemer. And I think that does something to our faith. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to grow in your faith, go talk to people at church. Mm-hmm. How has God been meeting you in these seasons? What's he doing in your walk? Mm-hmm. Because that's part of what the Bible has been doing. It's been telling you stories of who he is mm-hmm. so that you build that foundation, right? And we can continue to do that today as how asking each other, how is God providing? How's he meeting you in this season?
No, I know, but that's exactly it. We're just asking God, or asking the women that we're working with those questions.
Yeah.
And really celebrating that, because mm-hmm. it's another time that we have those stones of remembrance. And it's like, absolutely. I want to celebrate that with you, that you acted in faith, and how that delights the Lord, mm-hmm. and that you're blessed by that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not only blessing your own life, but you're blessing the people around you by being faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even when you ask a person, how has God worked? It's a benefit to you, but them retelling their own story strengthens their faith.
Yeah.
It reminds them of the things that he's done in their life. And so I feel like that's such a good point, Leah, of just telling the story, being willing to ask the question. You're just blessing people all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, basically we're just repeating what scripture says in Revelations, right? Mm-hmm. Where he says that we're conquering Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What he's done in our lives, and we're retelling that over and over and over. And that, like, I mean, we were just talking, that takes back ground from Satan, who mm-hmm. wants to infiltrate his death and still unbelief in everybody, you know?
Absolutely,
so our testimony has that power.
Mm-hmm. So when you're meeting with your women, asking them these questions and like just celebrating together, but asking them, what are things in your life that are causing you to grow in your faith? Or what is God doing? Or let's look back. Where has God showed up when you have stood on the promise of his word and who he says he is over your feelings? Like, what was the outcome of that?
Mm-hmm.
And really celebrating those things, and not just like keeping those quiet, but like it's a celebration. I mean, that's what life in in him, and just the what we should as sisters, you know, mm-hmm. be.
I've even like phrased it, how is God inviting you to trust him in whatever you're struggling with or whatever this current mm-hmm. week is happening, you know? Like, I was thinking around that trust idea already, and by their answer, you know, you can help talk through what obedience might look like, you know, to mm-hmm. act in that faith. Mm-hmm. But that's one question that came to mind mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah. And we can't answer what he's asking them to do. Only they can, like, articulate that.
Sure.
But we can maybe help them know. Maybe it's like, are you trusting God as the provider? Mm-hmm. Are you trusting that he's love? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trusting.
Are you trusting he's all-knowing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's in control, you know, all those things.
And so, even going a step further in, are you praising him for that? Are you thanking him for the things that you see? And even for the hard things sometimes. We were talking before this episode, just like you kind of laugh, but the story of Paul and Silas in jail. And, you know, it's like sometimes I think as a kid I was like, oh my goodness, aren't they so strong? They're even praising God in the jail. Mm. And Lisa and I were just laughing because we were like, no, they're praising God because they're like, this is the God we believe, right? Like, this is it, right? Like, you have to praise God because you know who he is. And sometimes that reestablishes your faith in the darker moments mm-hmm. or in the times when you're like, this is kind of hard.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm going to praise him through the storm. I'm going to thank him for all the things, even the hard stuff. And I think in that, when we are helping women navigate that, we can ask a simple question of, what's one thing you're thankful for? What's one thing you can praise God about today? You know, and because there's always something.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a fun conversation. And truly, we just want to be women that have a grounded faith, that we're active in that, that we're living it to the fullest, and that we're just really glorifying God in our lives. And we want to celebrate that with you, too. Mm-hmm. So we are looking so forward to a new series that we're starting next week called Redemption. So be sure to join us again on Monday, and we are going to start that new series.
See you guys back next week.
Wow, that episode was so powerful. I am still thinking about it even weeks after we've recorded it. I think that just, I mean, Lisa's simple definition of taking God at his word is such a powerful way to view our faith. There's an element of such belief in it, and then there's always that action that is followed through. I think that was something that's continuing to stick with me, even later after recording. And I think this one-off episode was just perfect in setting us up for this redemption series that we're going to start next week, because oftentimes we see beautiful redemption when we've had faith in God amidst what seems broken, what seems totally dismantled or too far gone. God uses even what can be a tiny mustard seed of faith amidst our brokenness to bring about so much beauty, because that's his character, that's his kindness, and we can just worship him through these stories. I really do want these stories that we're starting next week to be so worshipful for us all, because it is a beautiful thing that we serve a God who enters into the suffering of our lives to bring about beauty and joy and redemption. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. It was a blast to be having this conversation with you, and have a great week, friends. See you back next week.